if you noticed, if somebody didn't push it off your chair or something, I put an index card there. Would you please write on this index card, okay, we don't usually ask for this kind of a thing, but if you would write on that card something about yourself that you hate, okay? I don't mean a mole on your elbow or whatever, you know. I have this little thing right here because my beard is going gray. There's this one little black part that kind of looks like I took a pencil and drew it down here. That's not the kind of thing to write, Ashley, okay? But something that you think or do that you hate about yourself, okay? So please just do that now. We're going to collect it. It's anonymous. Don't worry. Nobody will get hurt, except me maybe. But just write something that you hate, please, about yourself, okay? Any questions? Does anybody need a card? Okay, we're good. Okay, good, good. Do, 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 do. No cheating. This is about yourself, okay? It's not going to help what somebody else wrote. Now, this can't take too long. Are you still working on it? Anybody still need time? If you did, I'd know you're perfect. But nobody raised their hand. Okay, that's good. Would our ushers please pick up the cards? If you'd pass them to the aisle, please, and the ushers please pick them up. Thank you. Give it to her, Tim. She's not going to read it. Well, maybe she will. I don't know. All right, so the point here is not for everyone to know your faults. They're pretty obvious anyway, probably to most of us. But I just want, well, you'll see what we do with that. While we're doing that, if you turn to Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 21. Jerry and Dean, thanks for asking me to share God's word. There's nothing like God's word. Proverbs 21. I'm going to share with you a little about speaking God's word to yourself. Now, you know, we don't think of it often, but the one person that's always with me is me, and poor me. But that's true of all of us. And you know, if we don't take care of ourselves, how in the world are we ever going to help anybody else? And God's word tells us to take care of ourselves, and we're going to look at that. But I wanted to share a few different points. And the first one is that God knows better than I do. That's the first point. And we're going to start here in Proverbs. Proverbs 21. Oh, could I have those cards, please? Usher, people? Jesse has them. Yeah. Did he run off with them? He's photocopying them. Oh, all right. Did you alphabetize them?
I was pouring through them.
Okay, thank you. He is a teacher, you know. Okay, Proverbs 21, verse 2. Proverbs 21. Matt Chatton, would you read that verse nice and loud, please? 21, verse 2.
Sure. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts.
The word way here, it says that every way of a man. The word way means a manner of living or a habit, okay? A man's way of living, or it just means a way. And it's one of the lexicons says it's a journey that anyone takes. So in his own eyes, every man, it says, he thinks he's right. And you know, this is talking about each and every one of us. We always think that we're right. Jerry was talking about marriage, and it's pretty obvious when you're in a marriage. People always think that they're right. And for some reason, your spouse is always wrong no matter what. But that's another story. We won't get into that today. The word pondereth, it says the way of man, every way, every manner, way of living of a man in his own eyes, he thinks is right. But the Lord pondereth. The word pondereth here means that he weighs or measures. God weighs or measures the heart. And God's scale is perfect. It's perfectly accurate. So man thinks he's right, but God, he looks at the heart. He knows what's going on. Look at Isaiah, please, chapter 5, Isaiah. See, when we get to the point that we realize that God is always right and that God knows better than I do, that's kind of a liberating thing for me. You know, I've got all this responsibility in life, you know, we all think we do. And, you know, we have stuff we have to do. But to know that God knows better and that God can help me to do it better, that takes the pressure off of me. And one thing we don't need is pressure. Isaiah chapter 5. Oh, by the way, we're going to come back here. So if you got one of these little, I have no idea what these things are called. Ribbons. If you got one of these ribbons, you can stick it there. All right, take your ribbon, because we are coming back here. Isaiah chapter 5, and look at verse 20, please. Isaiah 5, verse 20. It says, "Woe! Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, and that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." I remember once when I was younger, it was April Fool's Day, and I thought I'd play a little joke on my dad. And he put sugar in his coffee, and I decided to switch the sugar with salt. But it didn't go off so well, so it was woe to me, I'll tell you. I never did it again. I never tried to pull anything on him after that. Okay, so woe. Woe unto them that do that. Then verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. The Bible says woe to them. It's a bad thing for somebody to think that they're so smart, that they're so wise in their own eyes. That's what the Bible says. So people, either we believe what God's word says or not. You know, sometimes we can be so stubborn with ourselves. We're great with other people, but we're really stubborn with ourselves. Let's go to Proverbs 19. We're kind of in the neighborhood here. Proverbs 19. Oh, I didn't put my ribbon in there. Proverbs. Here's a good one to memorize, Proverbs 19. Verse 19:21. It says, "There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Devices means that which somebody meditates on, purposes, or plots. You know, it's plans. There's many plans. You got plans? I got plans. You have plans in your life, Jeremy? Yeah. You have plans, right? We all have plans. Many are they, it says. You know, that's normal. We should have plans. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. It's the counsel of the Lord that stands. What my thought-out processes are, or my 5-year, 10-year plan for my life, that's nothing compared to the counsel of the Lord. And if it diverges from the counsel of the Lord, woe, woe to me. So God is always right. He knows better than we do. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Dr. Werwell once said that the Bible is God talking to my brain cells. See, sometimes when we read the word, we might think it's good for everyone else. You know, oh, I better share that with Bob or Joe or Mary or Sue. You know, well, what about me? It's God speaking to my brain cells. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It says that two major things here. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Cast it down. Demolish it. Blow it to smithereens. Anything that lifts itself up, any thought, any imagination that lifts itself up in opposition to God, blow it up. Blow it up in your minds. Do not allow it to remain, the Bible says. And then it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You get rid of thoughts you don't want, then you bring each thought out process, bless you, into captivity. Isn't that interesting? We captivate thoughts. Oh, I wanted to tell you some literals. Okay, here's a literal according to usage of this verse. Demolish your human logic from the high position to which you've lifted it vertically against the knowledge of God. Be wise. Lead captive every thought to Christ, which you have attentively listened to and heard. And then verse 6 says, and when you're fully obedient, having attentively listened and heard, then you're prepared to maintain justice among those who refuse to listen and hear. You know, you can't help somebody else until the word of God is in your own mind. And people, that's the one thing that we can control. I can't control what Matt puts in his mind, but I can control what I put in my mind. And the issues of my life that come forth out of my life when I put the word there are going to bless me. It's not going to be woe. It's going to be cool. What we need to do is get God's word in our brains. Our brain cells need God's word. By the way, that's really the natural environment for your brain cells. The best thing for your brain cells is not beta carotene. Does that help your brain cells? Don't even answer. It doesn't matter. The important thing, the thing that helps our brain cells the most is God's word, because that's what he designed our cells to think. That's the way God made our mind, so that we would think his word. You know, you'd think it should be easier. It's our natural environment for us to think God's word. Jam it, cram it, slam it. Any way that you get God's word in your mind, it's worth it. God's word is what heals us. God's word is what blesses us. The more that I put God's word in my heart and lead captive every thought to Christ, then the better I'm going to be able to help somebody else. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Oh, we're right there, right? Okay. Look at verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Truth is simple. Error is complicated. And this verse tells us that. From the simplicity that's in Christ. Truth is simple. The truth of God's word is simple. Sometimes the problem that we have is the truth is so simple, we think it's too simple. We somehow think it has to be complicated. You know, well, truth is simple. And when things are really complicated, it should be like a cue for us. Better think about this. It's a little too complicated. It may not all be true. But truth is simple. And the Bible says that we shouldn't let our minds get corrupted from that simplicity. And sometimes that happens when we grow in God's word and we get more and more into God's word. And sometimes we let all these details of things get in the way of the simple truth. Man, the simple truth of God's word is powerful. Every word of God's word is powerful. You know, that's what that verse means that says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You ever look that up in Luke? It means not one word of God's word is without power. That's what those words literally mean. Isn't that cool? Every word of God. So if you know one phrase, one word of God, it's power. It's powerful. And how many do we know? I don't know, at least two. You know. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews. And you know what? I think we know a lot more of God's word than we think we do. I'm going to prove it in a couple of minutes. Hebrews chapter 4. Truth is simple. Error is complicated. All we need to do, people, is recognize that God knows better than we do. And if we know God's word, then we know what God wants for us. This is God's will. Everybody out there is looking for God's will. I don't know how many times I hear when I talk to people that they're wondering what God's will is for their life. And it's pretty simple. This right here, God's word. It's God's will for their life, and it's God's will for my life. We don't need all this revelation, you know, that God has to tell us or show us or somehow through some crazy, weird, mystical way that we understand what God wants for us. What kind of a God is that? That's not a very loving God who tells us that truth is simple. The word of God, God's word, is what I need for my life. That's all. It should be it. I said Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, yeah, this is a great one. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick. It's alive. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, it's the word of God that discerns. The more that I know of God's word, the better I can recognize what's going on in a situation. Because I know what God's word says. And if God says it, it's true. Isn't that simple? We really have a pretty simple thing in front of us. To put God's word in our minds, we just accept what God says. Demolish your human logic. It's pretty simple. So we just probably ought to know some of God's word. Okay, so that's the first point, all right? God knows better than I do. The second point, there's a verse for that. You know, everybody talks about all those apps. There's an app for that. This summer I got one that's an anti-mosquito app. That doesn't work, so don't even try it, Alita. But I tried it. I turned it on. I couldn't even tell if it was on or off because you don't know if it's working. Now, that's a good app. I didn't pay for it, but just think about that. You know, if you have, well, never mind. Anyway, so, but there's a verse for that. Every situation, there's something that's covered in God's word to apply in that situation. So we just need to know what his word says. And then when we're in a situation, we got the answer. You know, years ago, I was in this program called the Way Corps, and it was a biblical leadership training program. And Dr. Werwell, the gentleman who ran the Way Corps and who taught many of us the word of God that we teach to you and to ourselves, he wanted us to get exposed to many things in life. So he would take us to different places. We went to a funeral home. We went to baseball games. I think that was just to have fun. We went to a beef processing plant. And then one time he took us to a pheasant farm. Yeah. Now I'm from New York. The only thing I know about pheasants is that they're good in a restaurant served under glass with porcini mushrooms and wild rice. To me, pheasant under glass. I never thought about that there are these birds that fly around. You know, I never thought of it. But anyway, he took us to a pheasant farm. Now, to this day, honestly, I don't know why he took us to the pheasant farm. We were supposed to learn something. But I did learn one thing. And for me, that was really great. We'd be walking around, and there's birds all over the place. And Dr. Werrell would stop, and he'd go, "Isn't that great, kids?" We'd go, "Yeah, it's great." And then he'd come up with, you know, there are these two birds, this mother and a baby pheasant. What do they call them? Baby pheasants. And a baby pheasant. And he goes, "Look at that. Isn't that great?" And we're all going, "Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's great." And then he'd speak of some verse in Isaiah that talks about how a mother can forget her sucking child, and yet God wouldn't forget us. He took everything and brought it back to God's word. He was a master at it. Any of you that knew him, how amazing it was. In every situation, he brought everything back to God's word. Everything. And people, I didn't even get it, but he was like so many levels ahead, thinking everything according to what God's word says. That's really a good habit for us. When you're in a situation, Practice this. When you go out somewhere, say, what does the Bible say about that? Or what from God's word can that remind me of? You know, years ago, I made up my mind. I wanted to speak in tongues and pray more. And so I decided that every time I hear a siren, that I would pray. And it took a while for me to get that habit. But I still have it today, 7,000 years later. I decided. I made a habit out of it. So every time I hear a siren, I don't, go, something's wrong. I pray. It probably means something's wrong, so it really would be helpful to pray. You know, that's how I came up with it. I'm so smart. But anyway, at any rate, it's a habit that I did, but we can do that with everything. You know, Diane Carr, you ever been around her? She comes up with verses out of anything. You're walking around doing something, shopping, and she'll quote you something out of Lamentations. How cool is that? People, there's a word for that. There's a verse in every situation that we can remind ourselves what God's word says. Look at 1 Timothy. A little bit back from Hebrews. Our responsibility is first to ourselves. I can't help you if I don't know God's word. Oh, and by the way, my opinion doesn't matter at all, and either does yours. If we're ever going to help people, it's not our experience, it's not our learning that we've gotten from the medical or the psychological world. If you really want to get screwed up, look at the psychological world. What they do makes no sense. But when we can really help people is with God's word. But you can't help somebody if you don't know it. So we got to take some time to put God's word in our minds. There's a verse for that. Learn God's word often and remember it. So, okay, I said 1 Timothy chapter 4. And look at verse 16, please. It says, take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed. Listen to yourself and to the doctrine. See, people, we got to get God's doctrine, God's right word, into ourselves. That's easy, right? Now, it's not like none of us do this. I'm just sharing with you that we probably could do it more. And when we do it more, our lives will be better and better and better. It's God's word that makes someone whole. So he genuinely wants to help everyone. It's up to us to decide to put that word there. By the way, one thing this doesn't say is that you can't speak the word to someone else unless you master it. I don't know where people got the idea that, that I can't share something with you if I don't perfectly apply that in my life. It's God's word. Anybody who speaks God's word, it's still God's word. I've heard God's word spoken to me by people I can't stand. And it's God's word, though. I have to say amen, because it's God's word. That's what matters. It doesn't matter us. It's not my experience. It's God's word. And it's the thing that makes us whole. You know, the word's true whether I rise up to it and believe it or not. It's God's word. It's not true because I believe it. And nothing I do is going to validate it or invalidate it. It's God's word. If it's God's word, it's true. And it's true if no one believes it. It's that great. But that's what we want to get, is God's word. Okay, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua. None of us live God's word perfectly, so how would we ever end up sharing it? God gave us the authority to speak God's word in any situation. So whether it's with your boss or with your teacher or with your husband and wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend or your dog, it's God's word, and you have the authority to speak God's word. And it's not based on us. So am I responsible to make God's word come to pass? why did God bother with Jesus if I could do it? You know what I'm saying? Let's let him bring it to pass. We speak it, we believe it, it's pretty simple. All right, Joshua chapter 1, look at verse 8. 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Okay, now let's think about what that could possibly mean. We're in Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What does that mean? Speak it. Right. What comes out of your mouth? Hopefully words. Words are good. So he says, speak it. Then he says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. God told Joshua to speak God's word. How's he going to speak God's word if it isn't in there? But if we just cram God's word in our minds, it's going to have to come out sometime. You know what I'm saying? You keep filling and filling and filling. At some point, at least a little of it's going to leak out. And that's good. He says, meditate. Meditate is to think about over and over. It's a repeated action to meditate. It's not one of those, you know, kind of deals, and you stare at the little red dot. That's not the deal. The deal is to think God's word. Meditation is a good thing if you meditate on the right stuff. And God's word's the thing we should meditate on. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. And here's the benefit. For then, it says, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Want to be prosperous? Want to have good success? We just want to get God's word in our minds and then have God's word come out of our mouth. And, you know, you kind of can figure out where people are at by what they talk about most often. Well, do we ever think about what we talk about most often? I think it might be helpful to have one of those. There's an app for that, that you can record yourself. You know, wouldn't it be interesting to record what you say all day long? It'd be worse, and I'm glad we can't do it, to record what you think all day long. But at least then you get an idea of what's really in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, it says in Matthew, doesn't it? Out of the abundance of the heart. If the word is the abundance of what's in your heart, then it's going to come out. And that's what we want. Look at Psalms 119, 119th Psalm. The big one. The mother of all Psalms. Psalm 119. MOAP. 119. Okay, look at verse 148. 119, 148. Do we know if David wrote this psalm? Do we know if he did? Somebody said yes? Oh, all right. Well, somebody wrote it. God told somebody to write it. All right, Psalm 119, 148. It says, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. That doesn't work too well in American 2000 and whatever we're living right now. Mine eyes prevent. The word prevent. Actually, let me give you these other translations that are very cool. My eyes stay open through the night watches that I might meditate on your word. Here's another one I like. I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise. So prevent, you know, it doesn't mean stop. It doesn't stop the night watches. What he's saying is his eyes are open. This guy says, I think about God's word. I make myself stay awake to think about God's word. Wow. Where was his heart? It's pretty obvious, huh? He was meditating on God's word. You know, if we think it's important enough for us to get God's word in our minds, we might take 10 minutes out of call of duty. Maybe, you know, just think about this. So there you are blowing up the world, and you decide, okay, oh, wait a minute. I want to get some of God's word in my heart. So stop. The world will still be there. There'll be more to blow up when you come back, but just stop. And then say, okay, I'm going to take this time to meditate on God's word. meditate. It's not hard. You don't have to have, you know, a blue light and candles. You don't have to have all that. It's just to think what God's word says. So maybe like a verse like this, and I just put it in my mind and I think it. Maybe I memorize it so that tomorrow when I'm in a situation, maybe that verse will come to mind. Really, honestly, anything we can do to cram it, slam it in our minds is worth it. So, you know, some of us write things on ourselves. Some of us have things, a lot of you do, I'm sure, like here. You know, you got all these Bible things all over. It's worth it so that we think, we remember God's word. If you're too busy to read God's word, you're too busy to live. Okay, number three, the word of God is enough for me. Somehow, when we get all smart in God's word, we think it applies to everyone else, but I'm okay. Well, you know what? The word of God is good enough for me. I used to wonder why people who'd been raised in God's word, sometimes that they don't always have the same kind of drive or see the same kinds of miracles sometimes as people who just get into God's word. You ever notice that sometimes? It's not true in every case. But you ever notice that? I think I kind of figured out part of why that is. Because when you first get into God's word, you know everything that you know is screwed up. You know that it's messed up. You know your life is bad. You make every thought suspect. And when I know I did when I first got into God's word, I mean, I was brought up in a religious household, and I was taught stuff that they told me was godly. I learned it really wasn't. But anyway, I was taught all this stuff, and yet when I got into God's word, I said, man, that's all crap. And I said, you know, I don't know what I should think. And I didn't think I was so smart that I knew everything. And so I learned what God's word said, and I just believed it. And so God's word said that I can pray for somebody and they'll get healed. And what did I do? I prayed for them, and you know what happened? Not something. But sometimes when somebody's raised in God's word, I think it's what I call safe sins. You know what a safe sin is? A safe sin is a sin that other people also do, so it's kind of under the radar. Nobody wants to bring up that one thing that's wrong because they know that they do it themselves and they don't want to be a hypocrite. We've got little safe sins. And what happens is, you know, when you first get into God's word, you hear, oh, I shouldn't rob banks anymore. And you go, okay, I won't rob banks. Well, most of you guys who were brought up in God's word, that really probably wasn't a thought that you had because you were taught robbing banks is not good, right? But what about, you know, when you get so smart and you look at that verse that says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Ephesians, right? What about that verse? Sometimes, you know, we just get so smart that we work all the Greek in that and we go, okay, that word is klepto or whatever, kleptos or whatever that is. And we go, well, it says, let him that stole steal no more. Well, I never used to steal, so if I take this one time, it's not technically stealing. I mean, we sometimes get into these little word things, you know, where we justify what we do. People, truth is simple. Error is complicated. And the point here is that every one of us needs God's word. It's good enough for me. It's not just good enough for that dude out there that doesn't know anything about God and really needs to get his life together. It's good enough for me. And by the way, I can have just as much power in my life than somebody who first gets into God's word, right? That's the way God wanted it. God wanted it that the more of his word that we know, the more powerful we'll be. And that's possible. We just get God's word in our minds and believe it. It's pretty simple. Well, let's go to Isaiah. Back to Isaiah. Oh, ribbon. Isaiah chapter 5. We just need God's word. It's that simple. And the one important person that you need to speak God's word to is yourself. I need God's word. I need it. I really need it. And by the way, I'd appreciate it if that's what you tell me too. You know, it would help me. It would help me if when I'm with Caitlin, that Caitlin says, oh, yeah, you know, isn't that beautiful? That reminds me of this verse. Wouldn't that be good for me? Wouldn't it be good for each other if we just kind of remind each other of God's word? You can help me. I can help you with that. Uh-oh, somebody's sins just fell over here. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Okay, Isaiah 5. Oh, I love this verse. Okay. Because, look, I think that we're our own worst enemies. Look at this verse, Isaiah 5, 23. You there? Okay. Oh, yeah, you had your ribbon. Okay. Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. I think we do this to ourselves more than to anybody else. I take away the righteousness of the righteous. I think sometimes I just tell myself I'm not righteous. I don't have any problem knowing that Juan is righteous. That's not a problem for me. The problem is me, O Lord. I think I did something. I think I somehow fell out of righteousness. You ever find yourself thinking less of yourself than what the Word says? I have. I think that we do it more to ourselves than other people. God says we're righteous. And here's my new solution to this problem. Make believe you're somebody else. Because look, when Sally in my fellowship has a need, she's not feeling righteous, and she calls me up and she goes, Michael, I just feel terrible about myself today. I got a verse for that. Very easy. Anybody know a verse about righteousness?
My righteousness I will hold fast and not let it go.
It's a good verse. So you would know to quote that verse to Sally, right? But what about when I don't feel righteous? What do I do? I don't know what you do, but sometimes what I do is I just keep getting into this cycle of, oh, I'm so screwed up and I'm so bad. And it takes a while for me to finally come to God's word. The word of God's good enough for me too. If I can speak it to Sally, what about me? Does God think Sally's better than I am? No, he doesn't. That's another thing. When somebody first gets into the word sometimes, they know they're all screwed up and it's all by grace, so they try stuff. But me, you know, here I'm supposed to be so great because I've, you know, been in God's word for so many years, and I don't even try it. Jerry said it last night. It's because of fear. I'm afraid it's not going to happen. People, let's try it. If you try God, it works. And I think we've all proved it before. Someone last week reminded me of a time when I was a fellowship coordinator of some fellowships, and one of the guys in our fellowship got electrocuted and died. And the wife called me up, and we went over there, and I asked God, what should I do? And here's this guy on a stretcher. The EMT people had already been there. Here's a guy on a stretcher. And I just took the cloth thing over there and lifted it up and grabbed his toe, his cold toe, and I prayed for him to get up in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. He was still dead. Totally dead and cold. And I thought, all right, well, I did the best I could. Sometimes we don't always do it right. Sometimes we screw up. But if we never try, if we never prove God, we're never going to get to the place where we raise the dead. If we don't speak God's word and not be afraid of being embarrassed or something, we'll never get it out there. We'll never bring deliverance. But if I try it in my life, it will come to pass. I think Dr. Werewolf said that the first 50 people he ever ministered healing to died. Is that right? Was it 50? How many? Was
15.
But don't you think after two or three or four, you know, you might give up? But he was so convinced that the word of God would work. I'd like to have seen that 16th person or whoever it was. Those people who died, was it any worse that they, that you know, like if you try to raise somebody's, is it any worse that I held that guy's toe? He's already dead. What else can I do to him? You know? But for me to practice applying God's word, it's worth it. And people, it doesn't have to be raising the dead, but it can just be claiming that I'm righteous. I'm walking out on that righteousness. The word of God is good enough for me. It doesn't isn't just for everybody else. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. You know, at what point did I get so smart that my opinion counted better than God's word? There's a verse in Galatians that says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, that you're now made perfect by the flesh?" You ever read that verse? 3:3, I think it is. You ever read that? Here are these great believers. Those guys, they'd been around for a long time in God's word. That was one of the areas that was kind of established. And he said to them, "Are you guys crazy?" By revelation, he said, "What the hell's the matter with you people?" He said, at what point did your opinion count better than God's? We got to get to the point that we demolish our human logic and just let God's word speak. It applies to me too. Oh, here's one of my favorite ones. Psalm 78, verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They turned their back, and it says they turned back. That word means over and over and over again. They turned away from God. They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. I want to read you from another version. It says, again and again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. The word limit here, this is the only place it's used like this in the Bible, in this form. It's from a word that means to set a boundary, to make a mark. You know, like you do in surveying, they have that mark that they make. Sometimes it's with a stake and they put string there, you know, and then they drive that thing into the ground. They set marks, boundaries. He said to them, they limited God by setting boundaries. You know how we do that to God? We say, I'll take this one, God. You can pick up the next one in the situation because I think I'm so smart. You know, that's how we limit God. And it hurts him. It pains him. It's a pain to God when I do that, when I think I'm so much smarter than he is. People, his word is what he gave us. That's the thing that God gave us to live, to be prosperous, to do well, like it said in Joshua. That's just what we need. And our own human logic, well, it's as good as anybody else's. No good. All right, now, are you limiting God? You are if you draw boundaries. You are if you say, God, you can help me here, but you can't help me there. And we would never say that to God. We just do it that way. We got to let our human knowledge just demolish it. And then we let God's word speak and just believe that. So, I want to read you a few things. Nobody knows who wrote this, okay? I imagine that some of these are going to be similar. So I'm going to read some of them, okay? Getting up too late, okay? Stubborn, slow to change. By the way, anyone know a verse that we would help this person with that says they're stubborn with or slow to change? That's a great one. Pride cometh before a great fall. So that's a verse that this person could put in his or her mind to take care of that. Jesse knew that verse. See, the point is that we know a lot of God's word. Look at this one. I'm disrespectful to my parents sometimes. Anybody know a verse for that? Okay, parents, here's your chance. Bring it on. The classic, what's that? Honor thy father. Those are good ones, aren't they? That's God's word. That's not, oh, I feel bad about this, and, you know, they tell me I should. That's God's word. That's God's word. That's the thing we want to put in our mind to take care of being disrespectful to my parents. I don't like it when I complain. Perfect. Now, somebody knew that verse. I bet that some of these people who wrote some of these things, oh, they're you. Some of you know the verses that will handle these problems that you have. Here's another one. Lack of confidence. Verse? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Who said something over here? More than conquerors through him that loved us. This one, there's many verses on that, isn't it? So it's not a question of God's word. In many cases, it's probably not even a question of our knowledge of God's word. People, it's good enough for me. That's all we need is what God says. If I'm not confident, I can go to all the classes and do those video things and all of that stuff and, you know, whatever. And dress for success and all of that, you know. Because my problem really is that I don't dress well enough. And if I dress better, it's so stupid. I just need what God's word says. Well, we just heard what God's word says. Here's a special one. It's folded like 50 times. Must be good. Huh? It is good. Lie. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. There's a verse about lying. There's others, by the way, right? Mm-hmm. We know what God's word says. Okay, I'm not going to read every one, okay? But I am going to read a few. When I'm done for hours and... Okay, I don't understand that one. I'm sorry. That's my sin. I can't read it. Lose my temper. Ha! What do we know about that? Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a good one. Someone said? What's that? Let the peace of God rule in the heart, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. There is many verses about losing your temper. Cool. These are great. Okay, I'm not going to read that one. Oh, laziness. Laziness. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's just one verse. But do you see, what was that? Okay, I see a few repeats here. I get grumpy and push people away. I get selfish. Anybody think of a verse? And the things of others. Great verse. You see, people, we do know what God's word says. And there's lots and lots of these, and I will study them all and do a research paper on it. But I just want you to recognize that even you, if you know one verse, let's apply it, because it applies to us. The word of God is good enough for me too. So I want us to go, please, to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Another favorite of mine. It's great when you teach, you can do your favorites. Lamentations, chapter 3. This is the last one. For the Lord's sake, be patient with yourself. I'm so patient with Sally in my fellowship. I don't have a Sally in my fellowship, but if I did, I would be patient with Sally. And you know what? Sally's been coming to fellowship for 15 years and has the same problems that she did on the first day. I know why you're laughing, because I'm like that too. And you know people like that. Not yourself, but maybe somebody else. And I'm patient with Sally. Each time that she has a need, you know what I do? I go to God's word with her. And I share what God's word says. And I love her and I pray for her. Well, what about me? What about freaking me? When I have a problem, I could speak God's word to me. Okay, I was going to read this verse. Lamentations chapter 3, 22. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. People, it's because of God's compassion his love, his care for us, that we're not gumwads on the pavement. Because it's nothing, any great thing that any one of us did that makes us great. But because of his mercy, we're not consumed, and his mercies are new every morning. I want to read you something Dr. Werewolf said a few times. On bad days, sometimes you just have to close shop, get the word in your heart, and believe the sun is going to shine in the morning. There's sometimes we just need to put God's, word in our hearts and just make it stay there and think God's word. And the next day, let's pray for the new mercies of God every morning. Well, last verse I want to go to is Psalm 73. Just a few points. God knows better than I do. Amen. There's a verse for that. Learn God's word and think of it often. Let's remind ourselves. The word of God is good enough for me. And finally, good Lord, please, let's be patient with ourselves. In Psalm 73, look at verse 26. Sometimes we have bad days. Sometimes we think we just can't really do it. This is really a great verse that blesses me. I shared this verse with somebody who called me up a few weeks ago. She was feeling weak. She had a situation with someone who was sick. She was in the hospital with this person, and she didn't have her Bible, and she just felt small. And she said, can you text me a few verses? I texted her like 50 verses. You know, her phone bill's probably not going to be so good. But anyway, she read all of them out loud for herself and to this person in the hospital, and the lady in the bed next to her, to this person, was so very thankful that she read God's word. And it just really blessed me. But anyway, Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth. You ever been there? We live life. We live on this earth. It happens. I'm not Jesus. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, when my knowledge of God's word isn't so great, God is still there. And people, we do know God's word. I think we proved it. And we could go through the rest of these cards if I could read them properly, and we would find a verse for every situation. God has the answers that we need. His word is what we need, and he's given it to us. So let's let God's word permeate our hearts. Amen. Thank you.